Hello, everyone. Welcome to Office Hours on Wednesday. I am your host, Coach Kathy. We're here for 2 hours. Here's how this works. If you want to be coached, all you have to do is raise your hand. At the bottom of your screen, you have a place that you can click that says raise hand. Make sure if you raise your hand, you really want to talk to me. I would hate to call you up and, you know, you not be dressed or something. That would be embarrassing for both of us. If you want to talk amongst yourselves, that's fine too. You can use the chat. Make sure you're talking to all panelists and attendees, okay? That way everyone can see what you're saying. If you have a question for me that you want only me to see, use the Q&A, all right? That is also at the bottom of your screen. Before we get started, I just have to say something. I really, really want to talk about this word should that I'm seeing in the Facebook group a lot right now. We use it a lot. Think about how it shows up. I should follow my plan. The scale should be down this weekend because I've done all the things. My kids should keep their rooms clean. Using should too much leads to too much yearning, too much wishing, too much judging. And when you're using should, you're not using can or will. You're just noticing what you should be doing, and it's a lack in yourself or someone else. And when you notice that lack, you put negative space in the relationship. So how many times have you said, I should follow my plan, but I don't want to, and found yourself in the cookie jar? How many times have you been at work and your boss yells at you and you say, he shouldn't talk to me that way, and you go straight to the candy jar? You know, kids, scale, boss, partner, spouse, all based on relationships. You clean up those relationships, you feel better about those relationships, you stop eating, you 10x your weight loss. I'm not even kidding. I learned this as I was doing my weight. I'm doing my weight loss. I 100% believe this. I 100% believe that if I could raise, you know, sprinkle my fairy dust and give you authority and confidence in all of your relationships with yourself, your food, scale, your people, you'd lose weight. And you'd learn to trust yourself. You'd learn to trust the people around you. You'd learn how to show up around the people around you. And you'd look out for yourself. I just can't even convey to all of you how important relationships are when it comes to losing weight, especially the relationship you have with yourself. So when Corinne asked me to help her with this relationships weekend that's coming up, I was all in, y'all, all in. So I really want you to think about this. And newbies, you can come too, okay? If you are any of these people, I was that girl. I would wait for the secretary to leave the desk, and then I'd hit that candy jar like nobody's business, just because I was stressed out. I'd wait for Ken to leave the house, and I'd hit the pantry like nobody's business because I was stressed out at work, I was stressed out at home, and I didn't believe in myself. Once I started cleaning those things up, I didn't need the pantry anymore. I want this for you too. I know this works. So I just want to leave you with that. I want to leave you with how important the word should is in your life. Shouldn't be in your life. and just how important knowing who you are and being loving who you are and how you show up in the world is to losing weight. That's the connection. That's the connection between relationships and weight loss. That if you come spend 3 days in Nashville in March, you'll leave with, and you'll see, and you'll up level. I mean, I just want it so bad for you guys. I just know how meaningful it is, and I want it so bad for you. So if you have any questions, seriously, if you have any questions about relationships, about the weekend, about any of that stuff, you know, you can ask here, you put them in the Q&A. You can email support and ask, you know, ask them to send them to me. You can put them in Ask Coaches, any of those things. Okay. I just, You know, I think about when Corinne talks to y'all about weight loss and how passionate she is about how important it is to lose your weight and how much she wants it for you and all the tips, tricks, hacks, lessons, everything she teaches. I think about that's the passion I have for you with your relationships. I just can't tell you enough times how important it is to clean up your relationship with yourself, with the scale, the people you work with your family, in order to lose weight, because then you're not hiding in the food. You're not hiding in the pantry. You're not looking for relief. You're not looking for comfort. You're not doing any of that stuff. So anyway, I like I said, it's just on my mind and on my heart right now. And I'm just talking about it. One more thing. I said newbies absolutely can come. I've had that question actually. Can newbies do this? Yes. Yes. What better time than when you're new and when you're open to all the learning than to come to this weekend, right? We have amazing mentors that have been around a long time. My first accountability partner is one of the mentors. So yes, newbies absolutely can come. There was something else I was going to say. It was super important. Oh, y'all know Corinne's going to be there. I'm going to be there. And we have some special social events planned that will help you with your relationship with other people at the event, right? We're going to do cocktails and mocktails Friday night. And we're going to do podcasting, relationships podcasting Saturday night. So you'll get to see some of the fun interaction between me and Corinne. Okay, enough about that. It's just on my heart. It's what I want for you guys. It's how I know I cleaned up my world, cleaned up my weight loss. I just think it's super important, and it's why I'm so passionate about it. And it's small group, which I love. I love the small group. You know, I just love it. Get to know each other. All right, so we got some hands raised. I'm done talking about that. Let's coach. Let's see who we got over here. Jackie, you're first. Are you there? I know what I was going to say. Well, he's coming on.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
Can't see you though.
Oh, here.
There you are. Hi there.
Hi.
How are you doing?
I'm good. I just emailed my accountability group because they've been telling me that I need to do this. So
okay.
I'm kind of struggling a bit. I am not a new member. I started working on losing weight last January and joined Weight Watchers Start, and I lost about 10 pounds and then I got stuck for several weeks, and then I found the podcast and I started listening to Corinne and you, and started doing Hunger Scale and lost another 10 pounds or so really quickly. Mm-hmm. And then I joined the tribe in June. Mm-hmm. And started doing all the thought work. And I didn't lose, I pretty much maintained from June until Thanksgiving. And then I've put on 8 to 10 pounds over the holidays, and really frustrated with myself because I made this commitment to myself last year, this same time, that I wasn't going to be in the same spot. I do my plans every day and I assess them every day. I know I have work I need to do on the hunger scale. So I know there's work to be done on the basics. But I think it's the thought work that's tripping me up.
Can I just stop you for a minute? That's a very wise statement. Okay. Because if you think about the model, the action line is whether or not you're doing the things. There's always a thought and a feeling that create the action. Right. Yeah. So if you're not doing the things, it's because of a thought. Right. So what's the thought? Do you know what it is?
I don't know what it is. I think there's a lot of, with Weight Watchers, there's a lot of ways to kind of cheat the system. And I think that I have a lot of this kind of diet mentality stuff that I'm doing. So I'm trying to kind of work on that. I think it's the overeating and wine is kind of my big problem too, or not problem, but the thing that I tend to overindulge in. It's when it's happening, I know I'm doing it and I know the feelings behind it. You know, I'm feeling, it's often, usually I'm feeling sad or lonely. But I can't get past that. You know, I can figure out what thoughts are triggering it in the moment, but I can't seem to get to the place of, okay, I'm having this thought. It's making me sad. How to go deeper into the thought work. Cause I feel like there I'm at the superficial level of thought work, but I'm not really getting to a place where I know how to, move forward from that. Okay. If that makes sense.
Yeah. Can you tell me about the last time you were sad and reached for a glass of wine?
Start with last night.
All right. So tell me about it.
So last night, let's see. Well, so it was, my birthday on Monday and my daughter made me a birthday cake and I was really good on Monday. I had planned for it. I had some, I stopped with my hunger scale. I did really great Monday. And then last night, I think I was having some sad thoughts about maybe my age and, my husband and I are kind of working on some stuff and he went to bed and I'm sitting alone just watching TV and went in the kitchen and had an extra glass of wine and had another piece of birthday cake that was over what I had planned. And I knew I was just feeling sad and lonely and I just ate it and drank it anyway.
So why were you feeling sad and lonely?
I think I'm just feeling old and I'm feeling, I don't know, just sad that my husband and I are working on stuff. And I don't know that there's anything really more specific than that. Like I really was focused on the feeling and having a hard time kind of picking out what the thoughts were.
Okay. So if I were to say, what's the problem with being a year older? What would your answer be? Why are you upset about being a year older?
There isn't. Like, I'm not really.
Not your logical brain. I want to hear about, I don't want to hear, of course there's nothing wrong with that, or Kathy.
That's
the
brain I live in. That's my
brain. Well, if we all lived in a logical brain, right, we'd have all our weight lost. We'd, you know, all our relationships would be beautiful. There would be no emotion anywhere, right? No drama.
Right.
So, but if you're, how old did you, how old are you?
I turned 45.
45. Okay. So what is your brain telling you about being 45?
I think it's the, you know, I had promised myself at 45 that I would have the weight off and I'd be back down where I wanted to be. And not only am I not maintaining how much I lost, but I went and just, you know, gained so much over the holidays. I think it's kind of, I'm just really disappointed with myself and I feel like I know better. And, it just didn't need to happen. Like there was no reason for it to happen. And I planned every day. I just didn't stay on plan and I overate. And so I just, it's like, I feel like I, at this age, have all the tools I need to fix this problem. And I've been through this so many times of going up and down. And yeah, I think I'm disappointed and just frustrated with myself because I feel like it's not that hard. You know, I feel like it's, and especially, you know, following the plan is not hard and it shouldn't be hard. It feels hard, but this program, in a lot of ways is very liberating and freeing. Once I figure out what these rules are that I'm still kind of living on, and I've been trying to do some journaling to kind of suss that stuff out too, because I think I'm still got some diet rules that are, you know, sitting back there, the shoulds of when and how to eat.
Yeah. That's what I was talking about. The shoulds come in. I have a friend who says, stop shooting yourself. I mean, it's a silly little play on words, but that's what we do in self-judgment. You know, when we're not believing in ourselves, when we're not doing the things we say we're going to do, when we're not keeping our own commitments, we start saying, you know, I should have told myself I'd have this weight off. I should follow my plan. I shouldn't eat that, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah.
So I just pulled that particular sentence out just to put it in the model. I told myself I've had the weight off, disappointed. When you're disappointed in that moment, you drank wine, you ate cake, you beat yourself up, and you judge yourself. Right?
Yeah.
And that results in the weight doesn't come off, right? Because you're not being proactive. You're being reactive to a thought. Okay? To a thought. When you said you set yourself a goal to have your weight off by 55 and you didn't make the goal, so what? Seriously, what's going to happen because you didn't make that goal? What is going to happen in the world because you didn't make that goal?
I guess, my clothes I had to pull out like the bigger clothes sizes in January because I couldn't get into my clothes from November. It just felt like such a big change over such a short period of time. Mm-hmm. And after kind of feeling like I'd been, well, feeling stuck from June through, and I felt like I was working on the mental process, but to then jump so much, I'm really mad at myself and I'm really frustrated.
Tell me what the mad and the frustration is doing for you.
It's not doing anything for me.
Right. Yeah. Right. I mean, I think that's my point. It really doesn't matter that you didn't make your goal. Okay. In the big scheme of things, in the big scheme of the world, you set a goal, you didn't make it. You know what you do? You just set another goal. My earrings are clicking. That's what John Acuff talks about in his book, Finish. If you figure out that you're not going to make your goal, you change the goal. You either cut it in half or you extend the time period or something like that, but you don't just quit and say, I didn't make my goal, and live in frustration and anger land. You say, this is not really where I want to be. So what are the steps I need to take, you know, to make my goal? You know, there might be some deep-seated, sad, lonely something or other going on, you know, because you mentioned the husband. All that's okay. All that's okay to journal. You don't have to let that hit eating in your action line, though. Okay? Because eating doesn't fix whatever's going on with your husband. It doesn't fix being 45 years old either. The only thing eating fixes is fueling your body. And if you're drinking wine and eating cake, you know, that's the fuel, air quotes, that your body doesn't need, right? Mm-hmm. It needs, you know, the vegetables and the fruits and the proteins and the dairies and the, you know, the foods that feel good, that energize you.
Yeah.
Not telling you anything you don't already know. So let's do this. I'm going to stay with age, since you didn't talk much about your husband.
Nothing is going on with me and my husband that all the other women in this tribe are going through. So,
okay. How much weight do you want to lose?
That's another thing I struggle with because there's where I want to be, but let's say,
give me your first goal. Give me your 60-day goal. What is your 60-day goal?
My 60-day goal, I'm trying to lose about 3.5 pounds a month. So my 60-day goal would be 7 pounds.
7 pounds. All right. Result. 7 pounds in 60 days. I love working the model from the bottom. If you watch my calls, you see me do this. You know the model?
The model?
Okay. Mm-hmm. So for my new people that haven't hit phase two yet of no BS, C is circumstance, it's the facts of our world. You have a thought about the circumstance. That thought generates a feeling, which is the F. Feelings drive your actions, and the actions are things you do or do not do in response to a feeling, and actions create a result. So we're going to do the model backwards. Jackie's result here is 7 pounds in 60 days, right? What do you have to do to make that result?
I need to drink my water and mm-hmm. get my sleep. Mm-hmm. I need to pay really close attention to my hunger scale. And I need to stay on plan.
What else?
I feel like I need to believe that I can do it, and I don't believe that I can do it. That I just, there's that piece of it is definitely going on.
Why don't you believe you can do it?
Because I just I haven't done it since I joined the tribe, and then I just gained all this weight. So I'm looking at kind of the evidence of what has mm-hmm. happened.
Okay. So Corinne has this term phrase that she coined actually at a camp a year or two ago that said, the past is your teacher, but it's not your fortune teller. Okay. And if you know the model, you know that your results are created by your thoughts. And if your thought, your true belief is, I just can't do this, then you're not going to create this result.
Yeah.
But if you look back in the past to before you joined the tribe and all you did was engage the hunger scale, why aren't you looking at that evidence that you can do it? Why are you looking at the 8 or 10 pounds that you put on since the holiday?
Well, because I was doing Weight Watchers at the same time. So it was like Weight Watchers wasn't doing it for me because I felt like was doing a lot of little cheats. So when I started paying attention to the hunger scale is when it kind of came off.
So you attribute the weight to the hunger scale, not to the Weight Watchers.
I do, because I mm-hmm. do think that's what did it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So why can't you use that as evidence that these things are, I mean, this is not a long list of things.
Right.
Right. It's not like it's climb mountains and birth babies and stand on my head for 20 minutes every night. You know, it's not craziness.
Yeah. I mean, there's no reason why I can't do those things. I just seem to be getting in my own way.
The problem is your belief in yourself. So let me ask you this. Are you a good person?
I think so.
Do you work hard?
Yeah.
You have job. You work outside the house, outside mm-hmm. the home. You work hard. So you earn a paycheck. You good driver?
Mostly.
Most of the time.
A lead foot.
mm-hmm. Oh, a lead foot? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I think those people who are lead foots have to be even better drivers. Honestly. What about a good accountability partner? Are you a good accountability partner?
I am trying to be. That was one thing I did for myself in December. I joined an accountability group, and I am so grateful for them because even in the few weeks that we've been talking, it's made mm-hmm. such a difference in me being accountable to myself, and also mm-hmm. just it's kind of helped with the loneliness because I didn't realize how much I miss like having girlfriends and talking yeah. to mm-hmm. girlfriends. So that's been really great.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you show up for them too?
I try to, yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. What about other friends? You have one or two good friends that you show up for, people, neighbors that you do things for. Okay. So you're doing all this great work showing up for everybody else, right? It's time to turn this inside and show up for yourself. Because ultimately, you are the person who is most important in this equation, because if you aren't taking care of yourself emotionally or physically, it's really hard to show up for other people. Somebody told me once, you can't pour from an empty cup, right?
Yeah.
So if you are telling your accountability group, y'all need to be doing these basics, they work, you need to be telling yourself that until you believe it. Sometimes you have to borrow a thought or create a thought that's not quite believable yet, but you write it down every day. Here's what happens. if we were to finish this model, let's say the feeling, we'll even give it a really bland feeling here, okay? Maybe we'll call it I don't know. Let me think. Really bland feeling. Prepared. Okay. Are you doing a plan every day?
Yeah.
Okay. So you're prepared. All right. So, and maybe the thought that leads you to prepared is, I understand what to do. Okay. Because you do, right?
I think so. Yeah.
All right. So this is probably the beginning of the model you're working at right now. But if we gave you a thought that said, I know what to do and I can do it, this changes to committed. Okay? And the rest stays the same. The trouble is, you know, you can believe I understand what to do. You know what you should do. There's that should word. You don't believe in the part, and I can do it. That's the part you need to write every day at the top of your plan. I know what to do and I can do it. Every day, I know what to do and I can do it. What is the circumstance? Well, we're talking about her four basics. That's how we determine what the circumstance is. Showing up for her weight loss. Doing the four basics. Because what happens, my marker doesn't like to work very well. What happens is you practice this thought, I know what to do and I can do it. You write it down. You don't really believe it. But you keep doing this action line here and you create the result because you did the action line. Okay? And because you did the action line and you created the result, you realize you really do believe the thought. So for you, if this is really what you want, is this really what you want?
Yeah.
You got to practice that action line and practice the thought that's not quite believable yet. So all of your accountability people need to be asking you every day, did you write that thought at the top of your 24-hour plan? What did you do today, Jackie? Can you do this? You know, what would you tell us? That oftentimes when I'm coaching someone, I'll ask them, all right, if we swap places, what would you tell me? It's a great question for an accountability group to ask. Okay. Because it puts your own wisdom to work.
Is committed a better feeling than in control? Because I've noticed when I do these thought works, the feeling I feel like I'm shooting for is in control. And I'm not sure that's really what I need. It's like what makes me feel comfortable, but it's not necessarily enough to kind of.
I think the best feeling is the one that feels good to you. So when you say in control, what does that look like for you? What does that mean?
I guess it reinforces that I understand what to do, but I'm not sure that it reinforces that I believe I can do it, if that makes sense.
Okay. So your model in that case is what? If you're in control, what's the thought that leads you to feeling in control?
That I know what to do to fix the problem, or I know what I need to do. Yeah, that's what it usually looks like, I think, for me.
Okay. So you've just left off the part, and I'm going to do it.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
This is called passive action.
Right.
Right? So there's passive action and there's massive action. There's passive action, which is all the reading and the studying and the, you know, I know what to do and the journaling and the whatever. It's not really doing anything.
Right.
It's just knowing what you want to do.
Right. Yeah.
So I know what I need to do leads you to feeling in control, but what are you actually doing on this action line?
It still leaves that open-ended.
Yeah, it's the action is I'm thinking about what I need to do.
Right.
Right. And for you, the result is you're not really doing anything. You're just thinking about it.
Right. Yeah, that's the problem, I think.
Yeah. So I want you to go, this is going to sound crazy, but I think it's good for you. I want you to go to the orientation module, the orientation. You go straight out to the homepage okay. of PNP Tribe. And it says step one, it's for the newbies. Step one, do the orientation module. There's I think it's the third lesson in is on commitment, committing to yourself. I want you to listen to that more than once.
Okay.
Like listen to it tonight, listen to it tomorrow, and ask yourself, journal about what does being committed to myself really look like to me? Okay.
Okay.
Because when I was asking you about, you know, work and family and friends and accountability, you're showing up for all kinds of things in a really great way, except with yourself. So you need to kind of work on this commitment to Jackie and what that looks like and how you can start implementing some of those things.
Okay.
Okay.
That sounds good.
All right.
Thank you.
Hope that helps. You're welcome.
Thanks a lot.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Dee, you're next. I hope I said your name right. You can tell me if I didn't. Are you there?
Hello, I'm here.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm. Good.
So is your name Dee?
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. So what's up?
It's actually Deborah, but when I joined the tribe, like I didn't know what the deal was with usernames and all that. But anyway, as long as you call me something nice, it's fine.
Really? What is that old thing? Just don't call me late for dinner. Right. So what's up?
Well, I have two questions, pretty similar to the last mm-hmm. the last caller. First, about goals, mm-hmm. right? And you talked about John Acuff's book, Finish.
Mm-hmm.
He says if you don't reach the goal, you make a new one. You don't just throw it away, right?
Right.
So we've done some work this month in the tribe on setting a 60-day goal,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So, and then breaking that down monthly, mm-hmm. weekly, that sort of stuff. So, for example, hypothetically, if we say our weekly goal, or the 60-day broken down into a week is 1.5 pounds a week,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what mm-hmm. we want to do. That's what we want to see on the scale. And let's say we lose 1.1 pounds that week.
Mm-hmm.
So the following week then, what does our new goal look like? Are we still looking at, I mean, this is something that we write in our planner every day, right? Mm-hmm. So do we say now, whatever the math is, that I want to lose my 1.5 plus, well, I guess that would make it 1.9
mm-hmm.
plus that 0.4 that I didn't get last week, or am I still on the 1.5 track?
It's up to you. That's the beautiful thing about a goal. All right. Let's say, what did you say your 60-day goal was? 12 pounds.
In some, to be honest with you, I don't remember. I know what like my goal number was,
mm-hmm.
but I don't remember.
Okay.
Like.
So let's say week one, I hate being tethered here. Week one, you have a goal of 1.45 pounds per week.
Yes.
Okay. Week one, you lose 1.1. Week two, you lose 1.6. Whoops. Week three, you lose 0.8. Week four, you lose 2.4. What's the problem with any of that?
I don't know the math, but I don't think I see a problem at all. I think it all kind of washes.
You don't have to do math.
Okay.
I think you're overthinking it. I think
probably.
What you do when you set a goal is you give yourself something to shoot for.
Okay.
You know, if you come in at 1.1 on a 1.5 pound goal, it's okay. You still had a loss.
Mm-hmm.
If you come in at 2.4, it's okay. It doesn't matter. You know, it's just numbers.
Okay.
It's just numbers. It's something to shoot for.
Okay.
If you came in at up a pound, it's okay. You know, you just have something to assess. Mm. You just have something to learn from it.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have, when John Acuff talks about a goal, his whole point is not whether or not you make the goal, it's the work that you're doing on the way to the goal. How are you showing your progress? What are you learning? What can you level up? What's better? What's not so good? You know, all those things. Mm-hmm. It's all about the work that you're doing to make the goal. That's why the end number is not as important as the little steps you take on the way to it.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Almost like, yeah, it's almost like kind of the goal is almost like a sort of a framework for.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. Great. That's really helpful.
Okay.
Here's the second part or the second question. This is more of a model question.
Okay.
And I think it was Betsy who coached on this last week. Mm-hmm. And I just thought it was brilliant. It was something that has not occurred to me to apply to my work in the tribe.
Mm-hmm.
It's the concept is that you don't have to do an unintentional and an intentional model. That if something has worked, if you had a milestone, if something's going well, mm-hmm. let's do a model on that to try to figure out what got you to that point.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, and I posted about this in the tribe on the Facebook group, and people were so, I got such support and I feel like everybody was celebrating along with me. So, mm-hmm. for all the newbies out there, you guys just take it to the tribe and your celebrations as small as it may be. Like there are no small celebrations. Mm-hmm. Like every little win is a win. And for me, my win was I went to dinner with the boyfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And usually when we have date nights, like my plan is very simple. It's a very simple 2-2.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing that night, he wanted pizza. That was fine. I had one slice of pizza and two chicken wings.
Mm-hmm.
Never in my life have I gone to dinner and had one piece of pizza. And it was a medium, like he's healthy and health conscious. And so we got thin crust. So it wasn't even a huge piece, right? And that was a major win for me. It had never happened. And so then when I heard her coach on, okay, let's back that all the way up and let's figure out what's working here.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm probably overthinking that as well as the goal question that I had before. But as far as like the, what goes in the circumstance blank and the thought blank and the feeling, like is the result the fact that I ate one slice or is the result the fact that that behavior as a whole, like really focusing on that plus two, is the result then the weight loss and well, or is it?
Let's do, and Betsy's right, by the way. She is a model guru. You should. One of the things I was reading about recently is you should always journal the good things too. Journal and model what's good happening in your life too, not just the problems, not just the overeats. You know, you have to show your brain that good things happen too.
Mm-hmm.
So she's absolutely right. Sometimes when you have a good result, you want to figure out what that model looks like so you can repeat it. Okay. So your C line here is your date night.
Okay.
Okay. Because that's what we're talking about. We're talking about you going out to eat.
Yes.
You had a thought, a feeling, an action, and a result.
Yes.
So if we're looking at your eating on date night, I think your one pizza, your one slice of pizza, and your wings
mm-hmm.
are what you ate. So they go in the action line.
Okay.
Okay. But tell me why you ate only one slice of pizza and two wings.
Okay. Well, I made some notes on it and I mean, that was like a Friday. I had stayed on plan. All of my steps up to that point were in place. Mm-hmm. And it was important to me that I continue that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about like how I wanted to feel the next morning.
Mm-hmm.
right? If I wanted to step on the scale with dread or with confidence. Let's see. I thought about like I was wearing a new outfit and I was excited about the size that I was able to buy. And I thought about how great that felt and if mm-hmm. and that I wanted to continue that.
Mm-hmm.
And what was more important to me? Okay. Continuing to wear that size or another slice of pizza.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I reviewed my plan and the journal page of my planner like before I left. Mm-hmm. So because I wanted to be in, I wanted to have all those tools in place.
Okay. So what was more important to you?
What was more important?
You said, you know, you were thinking about what's more important, the outfit or the extra slice of pizza?
The outfit.
Okay. So maybe that is what goes in your thought line.
Okay.
Because you said this is what you ate. You kept your plan in mind. So you got date night. I have a new outfit that's, mm-hmm. I don't know. What do you think? Let's do it this way.
Okay.
When you were eating and you were thinking about your hunger and thinking about your plan and thinking about your outfit, what were you feeling?
Okay.
One word. Put yourself in that place. I'm eating here. I'm saying no to a second slice of pizza. What are you feeling?
I felt so confident. I felt like a rock star.
Confident. And why did you feel confident?
Because I had my own back. Because like I was doing what I said I was going to do.
Yeah, my own back. That's the thought right there.
Okay.
So you had your own back because you reviewed your plan. You know, you did all these things. That's what what I have my own back means is you set yourself up to have a great date night experience. You even thought about how you wanted to feel when you came home. That was part of having your own back. Confident. You did these things. The result here is a successful night out, you know, from a food perspective. It's not necessarily weight loss because you can't, I mean, you don't know if you lost weight eating or not.
Yeah.
But what you did do was the result was you felt great when you got home because you had a successful night out.
Yes.
Because you followed plan and all the things.
Does
that make sense?
Yes, it does. And like I said, I was getting caught up in like, because I really want to continue to use this.
Mm-hmm.
And when things do go well, I really want to dive into it and figure out what's working for me so I can repeat it.
Yes, absolutely. Do you have the planner?
I do.
So in the planner on the journal page.
Yes.
There are little prompts that ask you, that help you figure out what goes where in the model. So on the top one, it says, write one circumstance or fact here.
Yes.
And then the next one says, write one thought you had about your circumstance. And then the next one says, when you think that thought, what's the feeling? The next one says, when you feel that way, what do you do or not do? And the next one says, look at your actions. What result did you get?
Mm-hmm.
That's how you work the model from the top down. Okay. And that's, you can start the model anywhere, really, and just ask yourself those questions, frontwards or backwards. So we started on the action line, and I asked you, because you did these things, what were you feeling?
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I just kind of turned it upside down a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, the model is a very, very powerful tool. And I love that you were able to say, I did everything right. I want to repeat this. So I want to take a picture of it, because the model is basically the picture of how a thought creates a result for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's good work.
Okay. Thank you very much. That was very helpful.
You're welcome. See ya. Katie, you're next. What happened to Katie? Sometimes Zoom does this weird hangy thing. I wonder if Katie didn't need to have her. She may not meant. One more time, let's try Katie. Would you mean to have your hand raised? Hello.
Hello. First time you put me on, it connected me for some reason.
Zoom is a funny thing.
I'm just looking today. I don't have a specific question, but I'm struggling with that in my relationships. And so
I don't know. Your girl.
Start, but I just thought I would check in.
Okay. Tell me what you're struggling with.
Just kind of getting easily offended by things and a lack of connection with my husband. And the easily offended is kind of with everybody, with friends and family. And I just feel like I'm getting triggered by a lot. Right now.
Okay. So easily offended. Offended is a feeling. It's created by a thought. Right? Mm-hmm. So if you think about the model, when did you join us, Katie? January?
April.
April. Okay. So you know the model.
Yeah.
So if we put offended right here, can you give me an example of something that offended you recently? Let's talk. But instead of talking in concepts, let's talk.
So I have two teenagers, and we have a family that we're very close with two girls the same age, friends with my daughter. And I felt like one was picking on my daughter, and then she kept coming at me and saying, oh, I think there's something going on with her, with my daughter. Is there something going on? Is it this? And I kept saying, well, she was upset about this situation. And I felt like she wasn't listening to me, and she kept blaming it on my daughter. And now that I'm saying it out loud, it's juvenile, but.
No. She wasn't listening to me, offended. So this is, did you say it's a neighbor or friend?
A friend.
Okay. So when you get offended, what do you do or not do?
I withdraw.
Anything else? Are you like me? Do you hit the candy bowl? Are you like I was?
Yeah.
Eat? Okay. Anything else?
I just kind of stew in it.
Oh my gosh, we could be the same person. Withdraw, eat, stew. How about hold a grudge? Raise up my hand. Oh yeah. Okay. So the result is I'm not listening either. You know why I know that? Because you've withdrawn and you're eating and you're not engaging her.
Yeah.
So if we coach this about the relationship, I would ask you, do you like showing up this way with this person?
No.
Right? You're offended not because of something she said, but because of a thought you had. Okay. She didn't offend you. You know that, right?
I know that logically.
Right. Yeah. Logically. Right. So I'm going to bet this isn't even offended. I think that's probably what you think it is. Is the feeling really offended, or is it angry, or is it something else? Is it really offended?
It's like she was almost questioning my parenting. Like almost like she was saying there was something, kept questioning if there was something wrong going on with my daughter, as if if there were, I wasn't capable of handling that.
Okay. Well, let me ask this question then. Are you angry about, were you offended because she questioned your parenting, or were you in turn questioning, did her, I would have gone straight to maybe my parenting isn't good enough. I mean, that's me. I would have gone, or did you get defensive and say, of course my parenting is fine. Is it really offended or is it defensive? Or, I mean, if it's offended, it's fine. I'm just trying to nail it.
Defensive might be more, it's almost like your daughter's the one that's being a bitch. So why are you coming at me? You
know, yeah. Okay. Okay. But the rest of this is still the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
The point is, when you have a relationship with someone, it's not defined by how they show up. It's defined by how you show up. Mm-hmm. Okay. So if you don't want to feel offended or defensive, you have to have a thought when she's yammering that make it okay for you to stand there and be who you want to be.
Right.
Okay. You could have the thought she is crazy as a loon and be totally neutral. In fact, amused at her ranting.
And I can do that in a lot of situations, although I don't know why I'm getting so tripped up. Like, why is it that some people can really get you and other people, it can just...
People can't get you. You have a thought about her. Your thought is, what is her name?
Angela.
Angela can trip me up. That's a thought. It's a belief. Or else you wouldn't be sitting there going, why is it some people can just trip you up? Well, no, they can't. Your thought about somebody can trip you up, though. And your thought about her is that she's got something special about her that can trip you up. If you didn't have that thought, if Angela was just Angela, who's looking out for her kid, you know, who's fighting as hard for her kid as you're fighting for yours, then the feeling changes. You're not offended anymore. You understand that she's fighting for her kid as much as you're fighting her for yours. Mm-hmm. You see how just a small shift in the thought totally changes the whole dynamic of the relationship. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So what you have to do is question how you show up with her. And if you're okay with showing up and being defensive because you're going to fight for your kid and, you know, she's not listening, if you're okay with all that, then you're doing just fine. But it doesn't sound like you are because you asked for coaching on it. Right. But you asked for coaching because you're easily offended. And what I'm telling you is that you're offending yourself. You're creating that feeling all by yourself. She's not doing it to you.
Okay.
Isn't it awful when we have to take responsibility for...
Well, it's like, it's awful stuff, I know. It's just, but I, like I said, I got tripped up and it's like, logically I know this, but these feelings are still coming.
It's because you're still practicing the thought. It's not going to change overnight. Mm-hmm. You're gonna see Angela and you're gonna have to really manage your mind around her. Okay. So it's gonna take some thought downloads. It's gonna take some how do I wanna show up, you know, conversations with yourself. It's gonna take, you know, just practicing, just trying on new thoughts. Angela's just another mom. Angela's a firecracker, you know, whatever it is that helps you cope with your reaction to her. That helps you, dial in the reaction you have to her in a way that you're happier with.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. It does.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about the connection with your husband? Or you want to ruminate on this? Okay. What's going on there?
I just feel like he wants to have sex all the time, but when I try and talk to him and have like an emotional connection, it's like he's just kind of like, and either half listens or gets annoyed because I'm talking too much. And then I get into the like, well, How am I supposed to meet your needs when my needs aren't met?
Mm-hmm. Have you read The Five Love Languages?
A while ago.
Actually. A while ago. What is yours? What is your love language? Is it quality time?
Words of affirmation.
Mm-hmm. Words of affirmation. Yeah, the talking. His is probably physical touch.
It is.
Yeah. So when you know that about someone, it's interesting. My husband's is physical touch as well. Very high. Mine is like a one. Seriously. Mm-hmm. My physical touch score is like a one. So we're like here. But we've had to navigate that for 32 years. So in knowing that about him, I speak that love language for him, not for me. Right? So that's what you're doing. He wants to have sex all the time. Are you having the sex all the time?
No.
Right. So you're not speaking his love language either.
But right? I feel like I give in to that. Mm-hmm. Still far more than he'll like give in to the conversation. I'm not sure
Have you asked him for conversation time?
I mean, I've voiced my opinion when he complains about sex, and I'm like, well, we haven't had a real conversation all week. You know, like, how can you expect
You're expecting connection to come back with this argument, with this. You're expecting connection to come when you're both already heightened in emotion. Is that right? Well, you know, I'll have sex with you talk to me, but you know, you never want to talk to me. So I don't think I want to have sex and blah, blah, blah. I mean, how's that going to be connected? It's not, it's defensive.
It is, but it's like, am I always supposed to meet his needs when he's not meeting mine?
No. But you're supposed to tell him what your needs are. That's how you create connection with communication. What if you went into, let me ask you this. If you went into him right now and said, dude, I have a great idea. We'll have sex Thursdays and Mondays. And then on Tuesdays and Fridays, we're going to have dinner together. What do you think?
He'd be fine with that.
Right. Because you've given him what he needs. You've asked for what you need. That's how you create connection. That's all it is. It's communication. It starts with communication. But you can't assume he's going to read your mind and know what you want. He's asking for what he wants. Why aren't you asking for what you want?
Well, and then I almost get offended. It's like, how do we have a relationship if we don't talk? And he just doesn't need that at all. And
that's okay.
Doesn't make
he sense. Doesn't need that. It's okay. My husband sits downstairs. He's at yoga right now, so I can talk about him. He will watch TV 24/7. And if I'm a chatterbox. If I start talking, he'll reach over to the little end table and he'll push the pause button on the television. Won't mute it. He'll pause it because he don't want to miss something.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to manage my mind around that. Why am I, you don't want, you know, but then I decide at least he's listening, right?
That's
he's
what I just thought. I'm like, me. Well, that's sweet that he's listening.
Right, right. So he just doesn't need the chatter. I just want to talk and, you know, tell him all about my day and all about, you know, my girls and all about my this and all about my that and everything. And he's like, I said, well, how was your day? Fine. He just doesn't need that. But because he knows I need it, because I've communicated with him and told him, I just, you know, would really like to unpack my day with you for, you know, 15 minutes each night. He's like, mm-hmm. Okay, I can do that because I love you and I want, you know, I want to be your guy.
Okay.
Yeah. So you have your responsibility in the relationship to create the connection is to communicate your needs.
Okay.
Super duper important. He's not going to read your mind. He's actually probably just going to assume you don't need anything if you haven't asked him. Think about, I mean, that's what we would do, right? If I'm just sitting in here all day long and I don't say, yo, Ken, will you get me some Coke? He's not going to know I need Coke. I don't drink Coke. I just, mm-hmm. that just came up, but you see my point?
Yeah. Yep.
Darn it.
All right.
Okay. Connection doesn't just happen. You have to work on it. You have to create it. Okay.
Thank you.
You're welcome. See ya. Tanya, next. Hello. Oh, I can't hear you. Let's see. Okay.
Okay. Hello. Hello, how are you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Good. I wanted to come on and get coached on my -2 to +2.
Okay.
So I went through, I listened to some of the Queen's Club coaching calls recently, mm-hmm. and realized that I was at maintenance unintentionally, right? Intentionally. I found a whole bunch of thoughts around what it means to get to my goal. So I kind of went through that. But one of the action pieces, or one of the pieces that I think I was just creating noise with and trying to use as justification, is my +2.
Okay.
Okay. And so I hear on the coaching calls a lot, like, oh, eat until you're satisfied. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I keep hearing that you shouldn't be hungry. But when I described my +2 to one of my Marco Polo buddies, the way that I always describe my -2 and my +2 is like, I actually feel physical hunger.
Okay.
And then even like, I'll get to my +2, which is satisfied, but that'll last me like 2 to 2.5 hours. Right. And then like, I go quickly from, I don't think I'm hungry, to I'm very hungry. Which I guess maybe that's the emotional stuff.
Probably. Yeah. Hunger ebbs and flows pretty easily. Physical hunger does.
Okay.
But if you're starting to feel hunger and you get anxious about it, oh my gosh, I'm hungry. Am I hungry? Am I really hungry? Wonder how hungry I am. You know, you can compound that with some emotional drama. Right.
Right. Yes. Okay. So that's where I was like, I was kind of, so I right now work has taken over. So I have, I allow work to take over. So I paused CrossFit, but I was doing CrossFit. So I was worried about, like, I don't do any of the extra stuff, but when I looked at my quantities, I sometimes wondered if maybe I wasn't eating enough of the right mixes. And that's another one of the, like, when I went through, like, what's it going to take to get to my goal? Yeah. There was a lot of, it's going to be hard. It's not going to be fun. Yeah. I'm really going to have to dial in.
I have to count my macros. I have to have the right mix of this and that. Yeah.
Right. And so there's all this nonsense. So what I thought I'd do with that is I made that list. I kind of did that mm-hmm. today. And I was like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize there were so many.
Right.
And I thought I'd go back through my data, because I feel like what the coaches would tell me would be, well, is that true?
Mm-hmm.
Right? What does your data say?
Right.
And it's like, well, my data says that when I do this little bit of discomfort around my -2 and my +2, I lose weight.
Mm-hmm.
And so as long as I stick with a little bit of discomfort around my -2 and my +2, I lose weight.
It's funny how that works. So -2 is slight hunger. I'm at least at -2 now. I might be at -3, but I'm okay with that. You know, I'm okay with being hungry. In fact, I used to tell myself when I get hungry, I'd be like, just take a little off the hip there, you know, and it,
right.
You know, well, you know, I kind of enjoyed the hunger part of it. The +2 to me is easier to nail, is not as easy to nail. So, one of the things I tell people, actually, somebody called it the Kathy method not too long ago. Have you heard this?
No.
What I tell people to do, to find +2, and you have to do this repetitively, okay? Now, you don't have to solve it in one night. But you serve up, let's say, dinner, and you eat half.
Oh, I did.
And you wait
5 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh, well, 10? Okay.
I say 10, because if you think about it, by the time you swallow your food, and your esophagus does its little thing, you know, whatever that is, its little movement, the food movement down to your belly. and your stomach sends that signal back up to your brain that you've had enough, right. It's going to be at least 10 minutes. Okay.
So 10 minutes. Okay.
So you wait 10 minutes and you think about your body. How does your throat feel? How's your head feel? What thoughts are going on? How's your stomach feel? You know, and evaluate your hunger. If you're not at plus two, you just eat half more, half again as much, and you do the same thing all over again.
Okay.
And you'll probably find that you're going to leave some food behind. You'd probably be surprised at how much food you leave behind.
Okay.
But if you're only going 2 or 2.5 hours until you're hungry again, you're either not eating enough or you're not grounding your food with some protein or some fat or something. For instance, if I were to eat to an oatmeal to a plus two, just oatmeal or cereal, I'd be hungry in 2 hours. But if I put some peanut butter in my oatmeal or have a slice of bacon with it or something like that, and I add something to it that kind of satiates me is a better word.
Okay.
Then I'll stay satisfied longer. Okay. For me, my body blows through carbs pretty quick. I eat a lot of carbs, but I always have to eat, you know, like protein or fat or something with them or else I'll get hungry again.
Yeah. And I played around with the, you know, not as admit, and I only do it when I can do it from a point of like, I'm happy about what I'm doing. Right. Mm-hmm. So I've been able to go through and kind of say, I'm making decisions that I'm happy with. And that's part of why I've been maintaining that.
Yeah.
I've been enjoying that happiness a little bit too much. Mm-hmm. I kind of played around with it. Like, I feel like if I go low carb, right, I need those carbs, but then I think maybe I'm not getting my ratio of the carbs with the protein.
Yeah, I don't. Okay. I couldn't go low carb. I like the. I mean, my body doesn't like low carb, but the carbs I pick are good carbs. You know, potatoes and rice and fruits and things like that.
Okay.
Those are the carbs that feel best to me and stay with me the longest. But I don't ever eat just carbs. I always have something fibrous or whatever.
Okay.
You know, grounding
to go along with it.
It just helps. Okay. That's just how my body does. You know, that's 6 years of figuring it out, right? You just have to try different things. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And then can we talk about exception meals? Mm-hmm. So I know we're supposed to plan them so we can look forward to them and we can do that. And that's not, so I haven't done that. So I've been with the tribe for a year. And that's one of the like negative on my list of like, what is it going to take to get to my goal is I'm going to have to plan my exception. And so...
Are you going to live a whole life without having, what's your favorite exception food? Let's say it's French fries. Okay.
Okay.
All right. And we don't, and just so the newbies don't get confused, we really don't teach exceptions anymore. What we teach is realistic planning, right?
Okay. Okay.
So, but if you are restricting yourself from your favorite foods, like for me, that'd be French fries and cheesecake.
Okay.
Then that's not sustainable for me. I'm not going to not ever eat French fries or cheesecake again. I'm just going to be really angry when they come by, and then I'm going to like eat a whole cheesecake, right? I'll show you. I can have cheesecake. I'm going to have 14 pieces. So what we do is we say cheesecake and French fries are okay. You plan them in advance and you eat them to your two, and then you decide... Right. If eating cheese, if you've planned it every night this week and you've eaten it to your two every night this week, that's fine.
Yeah.
You just evaluate how it showed up for you on the scale. If you lost weight, looks like you can eat cheesecake every night.
Every night.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
But if you haven't, if you didn't lose weight, if you put on some pounds, then you probably know you shouldn't eat cheesecake every night. For you, you have to introduce those things into your diet because that's a normal part of life.
So mine is kind of a little bit, so where you said, if I don't plan French fries, I'm going to be frustrated and angry. Mm-hmm. And my thought is, if every time I want to eat what is an exception food, I have to plan it, I'm going to be frustrated and angry. So I'd rather leave it to.
So you'd rather just not have it?
No, I do have it. I just stick with my plus two. And I've been, and that, so it's where I think where my issues come in based on like me being able to maintain my weight loss mm-hmm. is it's not like I'm going way over, right? It's like, I'll eat it to like probably like the plus four, right? And so I want to leave it. I pressure my husband to plan because I've been trying to plan mm-hmm. and then he refuses to plan. Like he doesn't refuse to plan with me. He just won't plan. Right.
Okay.
So then if I don't do it, it doesn't happen. So I rather leave my exceptions kind of to the chance. Like I know, and I leave it to chance by putting minus two to plus two on my plan. So I don't specifically say like, ooh, I'm going here and I'm going to have this drink and I'm going to do this. Mm-hmm. Tonight, it's more of like, okay, I put it on the plan as a minus two to plus two. If I'm going somewhere, I know there's going to be alcohol, then I'll decide how much alcohol I'm going to have and I'll plan it that way. But it's not like, it's not really something where it's planned well in advance because it's not like planned at the beginning of the week. And I've been very resistant to the planning at the beginning of the week.
Why?
Because I don't want to. Because so planning is one of those things that I've been working on, and I mm-hmm. did a coaching call a while back with Corinne, mm-hmm. and I've finally gotten where I'll at least keep some lists, mm-hmm. right? I've gotten a planner so I can. If I go into the holiday season, I think about things that I gotten frustrated with myself about, mm-hmm. and I realized I was mad at somebody else, but really I was just mad at myself because I didn't plan far enough in advance. So like I went and I said, okay, well now I have a year planner. So I put it on the calendar far enough in advance for 2020. So I won't do that again. Right. Like I have a reminder there. So I'm like kind of gradually getting into it, but there's something about like, I want to be a free spirit. I want to just like not have to plan. And this is a okay. thought that I keep having. So I'm an accountant and I just like, I have this thing where I'm like, I just want to be able to do what I want to do. And I don't want to have to plan and I don't want to be responsible.
Do you want to
and
lose your
weight? And these are thoughts I keep having. I do. That's why I was like, I think I just need to stick with the, like not being like being uncomfortable.
Here's what planning does for you. Okay.
Okay.
It takes, and you've probably heard this before, but I'm going to say it again. It takes the food decision out of the reactionary part of your brain.
Okay.
And it puts it into the logical part of your brain. So if I tell you that you can have cheesecake, but you have to plan it 24 hours in advance, mm-hmm. you're using the logical part of your brain to say, okay, I might want cheesecake tomorrow, so I'm going to put it on the plan. Then okay. the cheesecake opportunity comes, you feel good about mm-hmm. it, you eat your cheesecake till you're done. If you don't put it on the plan because I don't want to be tied down to no plan and cheesecake mm-hmm. flies by, you're either going to eat off plan.
Okay.
Right? Because you're going to react to being feeling deprived and restricted. Mm-hmm. Like okay. you're talking about, well, you know,
right.
I didn't put it on the plan, so I can't have it. Well, I'm deprived, you know, whatever. You're going right. to eat it from a reactionary. Do you hear that?
Thunder? I was like, is somebody flushing their toilet?
No, okay. it's thunder. Thunder. It just came okay. up. Wow.
That was very loud.
Anyway, the cheesecake becomes a reactionary decision, an emotional okay. reactionary decision, rather than a logical, this is what I have my best interest in mind decision. That's right. the whole reason for the plan.
Okay.
She thought someone's stomach was growling. It's pouring now. That was the biggest clap of thunder I've heard in a long time.
Wow.
But that's why we do the plan. Because, okay. you know, who was it we were talking about? She said she had her plan. She reviewed it before she went on her date night.
Right.
Felt like she had her own back, right?
Yeah.
She didn't feel deprived at all. She knew exactly what she wanted in that moment.
Right.
And that's why the planning works. That's why you plan for your cheesecake and your french fries and your drinks
okay.
and whatnot. That way you can go into that without feeling like, you're going off plan, restricted, deprived, unhappy, right? You're going into it with, I planned this. I'm going to enjoy every single bite and I'm going to love it because right. it's on the plan and I've got my own back.
Right.
See how
different. And that's where it's the making it, like just doing the planning, making it easy.
Yes.
And I'll do that for the day. Mm-hmm. But then when I think about doing it for a longer period of time, like mm-hmm. I'll somewhat plan like meals for dinner mm-hmm. for the family. Mm-hmm. And then when I'm not home though, then I just do the -2 to +2. And so yep. It sounds like I need to focus a little bit and just be willing to make a commitment to
yeah.
this is what I'm going to do. Like make it easy. This is what I'm going to do and just yeah. stick to it because it's just food. It's just fuel.
Yeah. Yeah. And you keep saying make it easy. That's so true yeah. because you know, you work all day. If you're not yeah. home and you go home I'm at night at and you're right. And you're tired. The last thing you want to yeah. do is decide what you're going to have for dinner. What if it's already there?
Right.
and it's already fixed right. for you. And it's already,
I see what you're saying.
You see yeah. what I'm saying? You've just, right. you made that decision when you had your own back, not when you right. were tired trying to find the easy
okay.
route.
Okay. But it sounds like on the plus two side, I probably need to make sure I'm getting enough protein.
Yeah.
Just like play around with like the ratio yeah. of what I'm mixing in.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You could try that a little bit. Try adding a little grass-fed butter or avocado yeah. or something, you know, it could be something okay. like that too.
Okay. All right. The fats too. Okay, great. Yeah. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes. Very helpful. Thank you.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, we're having a storm here. Hang on, I'm going to pause for just a second. Y'all hang. Charity, you're next. There you come.
Wanting me to do things to fix the camera situation.
You there, Charity? I can hear you.
It's wanting me to go to settings. So just one second. Let me see if I can fix that. I don't know. Okay. Settings. Sorry. Privacy, camera, Zoom.
Are you still there? All right, Charity, I'm gonna take you back down to attendee. I want you to raise your hand again when you have all your settings together. And I'll call you up next, okay? Robin, see what you got.
Kathy?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. I can see you, but I can't see me.
Okay. Let's see if that helps. I just asked okay. you to start video. Did that help? There you go.
Yes. Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you. Hi. Hi. I just wanted to ask you, and I stutter, and I hate to stutter in front of people, but what I need to say is important. So
don't listen. Do not worry about stuttering at all. You just
thank you.
Say what you need to say.
Okay? Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I joined on the 29th. Mm-hmm. I stuck to my plan for the first 3 days, and that has been it.
Okay.
I have planned every day, but I was seeing on Facebook where somebody was trying to find an archived clip of Corinne,
okay.
and so I pressed on it, and lo and behold, I realized something that I've been doing. I've been planning out every day as if I was the perfect Weight Watcher person.
Oh.
I wasn't planning what I would really like to eat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm afraid if I do, that this is not going to work.
So Corinne teaches a concept called the realistic plan, right?
Yes. And I've heard her say that over and over, but I always just, I would write my stuff out the way I knew that you're eating good and healthy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Go.
Go ahead.
And then when it comes time to eat, I don't want the baked chicken. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have a chicken strip, even if it was just two, something I would like.
Then that's what you need to put on your plan. Because the here's what the realistic plan does. It helps you get used to writing down what you're going to eat and committing to what's on the plan. That's all that we want you to do in the beginning is commit to what you're going to eat. And then if you layer in only eating 2+2, you're going to lose weight, even if it's a chicken strip.
Okay.
Okay. So you have to first decide to have your own back and commit to what you've written down. That's so important. That's the first step. Then what happens is you eat your chicken strips for a week. You have a loss on the scale because you're only eating to your +2. You know you're doing all right. Mm-hmm. You do that for a month and you're not having as much of a loss. You go back and look and see what's one small level up I can make. And maybe it's baked chicken one day, chicken strips for six. Uh-huh. You see what I'm
saying? So the concept of when we level up is when we see the scale not moving down as much.
Yeah, right.
That's okay.
Right.
Okay, all right.
In the beginning, if you are planning and drinking your water and eating to your +2 and getting your rest, you're going to see some results at first. Then when the results start tapering off, you've hit a little stall, you just go back and look for one little thing that you can level up. And you change that one thing and you see what result that gives you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Super important to keep your commitments to yourself. That's the very first thing that you've got to learn. And that's why we tell you to do the realistic plan.
I let myself down consistently.
Well, okay. I don't want you practicing doing that, Robin. I want you practicing having your own back.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very, very much.
You're welcome. Plan your chicken strips, girl.
Thank you.
I love them too. I'm telling you, I'm a chicken strip fan. Okay. All right.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. Charity, are you back? She's not back yet. If you're still here, Charity, raise your hand. There you are. All right. Let's see if we can get you up here now. There you are. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Good to officially meet you.
Well, it's nice to meet you too. What's up?
Long enough now, I feel like I know you. But
well, if you listen to the podcast and you've been around for a minute, then you do know me because I'm pretty much an open book.
Same here.
I pretty much tell it like it is. I just told Robin I love chicken strips. So what else is there, right?
Exactly. So I don't know that I've really done a true full-on coaching call up to now. And I joined back in April.
Okay.
And I discovered a thought in the last, I don't know, week and a half or so that I feel a little entitled to more weight loss than what I'm getting. And entitlement is a terrible thought.
Wait a minute. Let me see if I understand this right. You feel entitled to more weight loss than what you're getting. In other words, the scale should be responding in a way that it's not responding.
Correct. So whenever I started digging into this thought, really kind of doing more assessment and things like that, which of course, you know, at the beginning of the year, you do a ton of assessment and whatnot. I realized that basically for the last 6 months, I've been almost in maintenance mode. Mm-hmm. So I lost 60, 65 pounds in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
But whenever I assessed that, almost all of it was, all but about 12 pounds of it was in the first 6 months of the year.
Okay.
So, and then this last 8 weeks, I have just been in a 5 pound range. Okay. Like it just goes up and down within that little, it's not even a full 5 pounds range. So I realize that I'm apparently pretty good at maintenance. But then when I think about level ups, at first I was thinking level ups, okay, these are things that I have to commit to for the rest of my life. Like once I give it up, I never get it back. Oh, and then I was,
that's an interesting thought.
Yeah. And so I was listening to something and I was like, okay, you're a little overplaying that. That's mm-hmm. not true. You're no mayonnaise on a burger this time and have mayonnaise on a burger in the future. That's, I mean, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. Mm-hmm. So I started wrapping my head around that a little bit, but then there's this little fit of an argument that keeps coming up and I'm not sure how to really move past it, even though I've journaled on it and done models off on it, of because I'm as big as I still am, which I'm just over 300 pounds. I'm so freaking close to 299. I can almost taste it. And that's that 5 pounds I've just been playing with. Haven't got under the 300 mark. So in my head, I'm like, at this weight, the changes you've made, you should still be losing weight. Right. And should, yeah, we could shut ourselves to death. Right.
Mm-hmm. There's just that word.
I don't know how, sorry, all that noise is my puppy shaking his collar at me. But I don't know how to move past.
Tell me
it.
All the reasons you should still be losing weight. Give me all the reasons.
I'm doing all the four basics. So I'm eating 2 to 2. I mean, I'd put money on that I know my 2 to 2. I know that's usually the question, you know, would you pay me $10,000 if you, so, okay. I'm hitting my 2 to 2. Mm-hmm. I am getting my water in. I'm getting
how much
sleep.
Water?
I get a 96 a day.
Okay.
But a minimum of 64 to 72, but most days it's 96. Okay. Let's see.
I how get much sleep do you get? How much?
7 to 8.
Okay.
Usually closer to the 8.
Okay.
What's the fourth basic? I can't even think right
Planning.
Now. Planning. Yeah, I do. Oh yeah. I'm super 100% on that. And I assess and it, I can't say that I never go off plan or anything mm-hmm. like that. I cannot say that for sure, but I would say more than 90% of the time I'm making that healthy choice.
All right. And so, do you do the habit tracker?
I use the habit tracker app.
Do you do a habit tracker in the planner?
I don't do the one in the planner.
You don't use the planner?
Mm-mm. I mean, okay. I use a lot of prompts and stuff. I just write them directly.
All right. I want you to go on the website and I want you to print the habit tracker. It's one page. Do you know what it looks like?
I do.
And I want you to be super honest in your assessments every day and check off every day that you hit these things 100%. Do you really believe 100% of the time you're eating 2 to 2? Is that really the truth 100% of the time?
So, whenever I do that, does that mess up the screen?
Yeah, I don't see you. But if you're looking at something, you can.
I was going to look at the habit tracker and tell you what my percentage was. Okay. My -2 is at 96% and my +2 is at 90%.
Okay.
Over like 72 plans.
Okay. And off plan eats. Not following plan.
I got to go back to the thing. Sorry. I know I go away. On plan, is it 62%?
Okay. So you're off plan 38% of the time.
Yes.
And you're
and it's
+2 is 10%. you're overeating 10% of the time and you're off plan 38% of the time. What if I were to tell you that's the recipe for maintenance?
Right. So how do I fix that with this thought of you're already so leveled up, anything more than where you're leveled up isn't realistic for you because you're not going to maintain. You know what I mean?
So is your goal to hit plus two 90% of the time, or is it to hit it 100% of the time?
100% of the time. Well,
yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't say actually that it is 100% of the time because, you know, at a holiday or something like that, I planned to go to plus three. I didn't as a fact, but I did plan.
And that's the currency you pay for not losing weight that week. You'd plan to plus four or five. I don't care. Just know what kind of result that is going to get you. If you hit a true plus two, 100% of the time, you're going to lose weight. No matter what you eat.
Yeah.
If you stay on plan more than 62% of the time, because you're making your plans ahead of time with your best interest in mind, mm-hmm. then you're going to lose weight. So what you're doing is you're deciding that the level ups, aren't as important as eating. How am I saying? Let me say that a different way. You've decided that losing weight is not as important as what you get to eat every day. So if you had a choice between I eat the way I want, meaning no level ups, I want, versus weight loss, the logical part of your brain is going to say, oh gosh, weight loss. I don't mind leveling up a little bit. It's in that moment you're going, well, you know, I'm doing all the things. I better lose weight this week, so I'll just eat plus three, or I'll eat that, you know, off plan or whatever.
Right.
You're making that decision in the moment that you want what you want more than you want the weight loss.
Yeah. Because in the moment I'm that rationale thought starts popping up that says what you're doing should already be enough.
Right. That's the poison thought, because it's not. It in reality, if you are maintaining the same weight, what you're doing right now is not enough to lose weight.
Right.
I mean, that's just the logic of it. So in that moment, when you hear that thought, you know, you should be losing weight right now, then you know you got to pull the BS light on that one and say, there's that thought that I know is going to lead me straight to maintenance and not to weight loss.
Right. I guess I still don't know I know obviously that one thing is to clean that up, to get mm-hmm. that from 3% mm-hmm. to, you know, much closer to 100% yep. on the off.
I want you to look harder at your plus two. Try leaving three bites behind of every meal. Eat three bites less at every meal. Eat everything you're still eating, but eat three bites less.
Okay.
And see if that doesn't move the needle. Let me tell you about three bites. You heard my math? You eat three meals a day. Three mm-hmm. bites at each meal is nine bites. Right. Times 7 days is 63 bites. If you are overeating three bites a meal, you're overeating by at least two, probably three meals a week. Crazy, right? Just a couple of bites each meal.
Yeah. Okay. Because, I mean, it's one of those, I feel like my food choices are so clean mm-hmm. most of the time. I mean, truly. Mm-hmm. In any realistic world, what I don't eat that wouldn't qualify as clean. It's within reason, you know? So, I mean, it's got to be, I guess, in the plus two somewhere.
Yeah.
But
you can overeat broccoli. You can overeat salad. You know, who was talking about Robin was talking about the chicken tenders. One of my favorite things to eat is a hot chicken tender salad. And I can overeat it in a New York second if I'm not paying attention, because I'm loving on it so much.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right. That's my work. Leave 3 bites at every meal.
Yep. I bet it moves the needle for you.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much.
You're welcome. See you later. Where's my mouse? Here it is. Margaret, you're next.
There's my video. Oh,
there you are.
I put on my headphones because I got a 3-year-old in here, and he might be better with the microphone. Hi. Okay.
Hello.
Oh, I haven't plugged it in. There we go. Okay. Can you hear me?
Yep. I can hear
you. Okay. So, I'm having trouble staying on the plan and not, well, the biggest thing I'm having problems with is not saying no to my husband when, cause he makes food all day. Like he's retired and he's on this like high carb, low fat, vegan diet kick, and he just makes food all day long and eats it all day long, and he's skinny and he can do that. He wants to, like, he wants me to, he's always offering it to me, and he's like, you know, like when I try to eat like him, I just blow up. Like I just can't, like it's got too much carbohydrate, and I know that doesn't work. And I wind up feeling guilty if I tell him no, because he's like really trying to do all this. He's just really trying to keep improving on his recipes and improving on his recipes. And then
why does it make you feel guilty to tell him no when he's cooking?
I feel like I'm not maybe supporting him. It seems like it's like the only thing he likes to do.
Is that true? Is that okay? I'm not supporting him. Guilty.
Mm-hmm.
Eat.
Right. And I'm eating stuff I don't even like the taste of just because he made it.
Result is you don't support yourself.
Right.
So you're making that choice. You're eating things you don't even like because you're worried about what he's going to think or feel.
Basically.
He's in charge of that, Margaret. He is in charge of his thinking and feeling.
I know he's in charge of that.
If you went to him and said, I love you so much, and I really love how you're cooking all this food for yourself and how well it's doing for you, but do you know that I really don't like it and I really don't want to eat it? And is it okay if I don't? He'd be like, oh my God, why didn't you tell me? Why are you eating all this stuff? You don't have to.
Actually, he gets kind of defensive because he's like really on this. He's just convinced that this is the diet that will save everybody's life. And so he'll get a little defensive and be like, well, why you got to eat chicken, you know?
So I just like it.
Right.
Communication is the basis of anything when it comes to, you know, I love you. I support you. I'll stand in the kitchen with you. I'll pat your head. I'll clean your dishes. I just don't want to eat right now.
I guess that's true. I mean, he doesn't, like, he's not going to eat chicken or avocados for me, so.
Right. And right, he doesn't feel at all guilty about it, does he?
He's actually kind of smug about the whole thing.
Right. Well, look at him. He's like, I'm eating what I want. You're eating everything I shove in your face. I must be special.
Oh.
Right?
That makes me mad now.
Yeah. You said he was smug. No, but seriously. Oh,
yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Seriously. I love how you bring him into the picture here, because if we did his model, mm-hmm. you know, we got Margaret's food up here, what's he going to say? I'm not eating that.
I'm not eating that. That's going to kill me and give me a heart attack.
Right.
He's like in this whole meat is murder thing right now.
What's that? Is he feeling guilty about that? Or is he feeling
like
he's got his own back?
He's feeling like he's got his own back.
Right.
Yeah. And I'm just like not saying no. And I'm also sort of freaking out because when I tune into my hunger stuff, like I'm just not hungry that often. And it's almost freaking me out.
Is it because
I,
eating your grazing all the time in the kitchen with him?
No, just like when I'm eating what I want to eat, because I'm like, I just don't want to eat that often. Like I was always making myself eat, you know, got to eat breakfast, got to eat lunch, got to have dinner, got to time it out, got to make sure you're not hungry later. But when I actually tune into it, I'm just not hungry very much. Maybe I only want, sometimes I only want a couple meals a day, and yeah, and that's it. And I'm just like, well, then what do I do when the full family's sitting down and having breakfast?
You sit down and have a cup of coffee with them.
I guess, yeah. Just
nothing wrong with
sipping
that
the tea. So I'm constantly trying to get my daughter to eat because she's actually underweight, and so I'm like trying to make an example. But yeah, I guess I'm worrying too much about other people, yes. And I'm not, yes, worrying about myself.
Right.
I'm not making my own food. I'm just like, I'll just eat his food, even though it's really high carb, and I can't eat any more brown rice or I'll explode.
You got to have your own back. Right. And yeah, appreciate the fact that he has his own back.
Yeah. I guess I could learn from him.
Yeah.
I just need to say no. Like, no, I don't want your sweet potato curry, which I ate tonight. And I had already eaten my food. And then he was like, I made this. It's so cool. I made a sweet potato curry. And I kind of looked at it and it's like, well, it's more beige food.
Why did you eat it anyway?
I don't want to say I don't know. I was just like, I wanted to be polite. Like I remember my mom saying like, you know, if somebody makes something for you, you should eat it. You know,
let me ask you this.
You don't want to hurt their feelings.
If your husband walked up to Corinne and said, I made sweet potato curry, what would she say?
And I don't know. If she's hungry or not hungry, or
she'd probably say, thanks, that looks great. If you put it over there, I'll have some later. And then she'd decide later if she really wanted it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Not hungry right now, but thank you for offering that to me. It's very sweet.
Right. God, why am I eating when I'm not hungry? Food I don't even like.
That's not the best call ever. Like, light bulb is like, whoa.
I'm like, I'm not even overeating on hot fudge sundaes. I'm overeating on brown rice and sweet potato curry.
Right?
And I'm like wondering why I gained 4 pounds this week, right?
See, it's who was I just talking to? You can overeat. You can overeat anything and gain weight.
Yeah,
you really can. That's why the secret sauce is really the hunger scale. Hunger scale is really the secret sauce. You stop overeating, you're going to manage your weight a whole lot better, and your weight loss a whole lot better.
Wow. I guess I just got to say no and be okay with that.
Yeah.
You're like, no, I'm not hungry.
Nice way. I'd be that person who would say, you know, I really appreciate that. That's very cool of you to offer it. And I'm sure it's delicious, but I just had dinner. So why don't you put me a little serving together and maybe I'll have it tomorrow.
Yeah, and then you can decide. Just feed it to the dog. But.
Right. Then you can decide. Or you can just flat out say, that just is not my thing. Thanks. I'm glad you're loving it. It's just not my thing. Every morning, my husband makes bacon and eggs for breakfast. Every morning, without fail. I don't always want bacon and eggs for breakfast. I know the night before, if I have another baked piece of bacon and another egg, I'm going to vomit. Okay? Right. It's kind of like your brown rice and whatever.
Right.
But every morning, he'll ask me, you want breakfast? I'm thinking breakfast. And I think he got tired of me saying, no, thank you. I'll eat later. I'm not hungry yet. Because he told me this week, I'm going to stop asking. You just let me know if you ever want bacon and eggs. I was like, good man. Took 5 years, but we got it now. Right. Just do that. Just appreciate him and offer and tell him so. And
just eat when I'm hungry.
Yeah.
And just like go in and make my chicken and avocado or whatever. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. even if it's not, you know, heart healthy vegan. Okay.
Healthy vegan is amazing for the people who like it, who want to eat.
Yeah.
And that's okay. I I'm not a heart healthy vegan person, and that's okay too.
Yeah, I guess I'm not either, because when I tried to go that way, it just seems like I gain weight and I'm just like miserable, and I don't know.
It's not right for your body then.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, and just I had another question. Like,
okay,
sometimes I don't want to eat all of like until later. Like, I just seem to be on this later schedule. Like, I wouldn't mind like I don't want to eat throughout the day, and then like I'll get hungry at night, and I've got these old diet rules like you're not supposed to eat at night. But then I want to. It's like, well, I'm hungry. I should just go ahead and eat at night if I'm hungry.
If you're hungry, I mean it's. You trusting the wisdom of your body. If it's physical hunger and you haven't had anything in 4 or 5 hours, there's nothing wrong with eating.
Okay.
It's just, you know, it comes back to you evaluating how your body reacts to eating at night. If you can eat and some people can't eat and sleep. I choose not to eat at night because I don't want to get in that habit. I have dinner like at 6 or 7 o'clock. That's late enough. You just kind of find your rhythm, basically.
Okay.
You know, make sure it's good physical hunger and not habit or emotional.
It usually is hunger, and yeah. Then I can't sleep till I actually do it. But I don't know. I'll figure it out.
Yeah, you will.
All right. I'm just going to practice saying no this week.
Good girl.
Right. Thank you.
See ya. Okay. Sheila? Again.
Oh. Hello. Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. So I wanted to learn how to deal with guilt. So I'm having a really hard time dealing with everything that's going on in Puerto Rico. My family's over there.
Okay.
And they're being hit really hard. And I'm having a lot of work issues, and I feel like I feel guilty for being okay and taking care of myself when they're safe for now, but it's a never-ending struggle. I have journaled, and I have wrote in the website on the Facebook page and everything, and I understand the putting your mask first. And no matter how I work it, in my thought download, I cannot process it. Like, I cannot. Usually I do a thought download and I just come out and I feel like relieved and I'm not going to say happy, but I feel like I can handle it. And I can't. And I
So what you're saying, let me pause you for a minute. When you thought download about your family in Puerto Rico, you don't feel relief.
Well, yes. And this is the only one that I haven't been able to master. Okay. Like master. Everything okay. else, everything like my problems at work, I'm able mm-hmm. to do the thought download, and you know, I come with a rational answer that I'm at peace with it, and I can just let it go. Okay. But this one, I can't.
Okay. So tell me what the model looks like for you. Your family is in Puerto Rico.
Yes.
And you feel guilty.
I do feel guilty.
Why do you feel guilty?
Because I'm in my safe house with no danger, and they're having earthquakes 10 times a day.
I'm safe. And they're not. Right? What do you do when you feel guilty? What do you do or not do when you feel guilty?
I put myself down.
Okay. I'll call that. Well, let's just say put self down. What else?
Okay. I'm an extremist. So either I eat everything inside or I don't eat at all.
Okay. Is it restricting or is it what, when you don't eat, is it because your stomach's upset, you know, that kind of thing?
Okay. Because my stomach is upset.
Got it. What else? Worry?
Yeah.
Okay. Go ahead.
I cry a lot.
Cry. Okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. So what do you think the result of this model is?
I'm going insane.
No. It's a little simpler than that. It's just that you're not creating a safe place for yourself. In a safe emotional place for yourself. Okay?
I guess in the action I could add that I don't want to take care of myself. Yeah. Like the planning, the eating well, good choices, all that stuff. I just...
So tell me, in Puerto Rico, we have earthquakes, right?
Yes, ma'am.
What else? Fires?
No.
No fires? Just earthquakes?
No. Just the earthquakes right now.
Okay. Is your family's home damaged?
Their home's a little bit, but not unsafe. The town is crumbling.
Okay.
A little bit.
So town is damaged.
Yes.
What else? What else is going on there?
They're low in gas. Okay. So they're having to wait hours for gas.
Okay. Is there a lot of crime right now because of the conditions? Or is
they're not crying. There are
crime.
Looting. Oh yeah, absolutely. Yes. Okay. There's people sleeping in the cars.
Looting. Okay. So these are, if we were to watch the news, this is the facts of the world in Puerto Rico.
Yes, ma'am.
And your thought is, I'm safe and my family is not. Okay.
Yes.
So you're assuming that they are not safe right now. Okay. They have some circumstances that are going on that are not ideal. But you're telling yourself that they're not safe. Okay. That probably feels to you like a fact. They're not safe right now.
It does. Yeah.
It does. Okay. Is that, if you were to just separate yourself from just a minute from the emotion of it, okay, just look at it very logically, are they safe? Is their home okay? Do they have food? Do they have water?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm not trying to talk you into everything is rainbows and unicorns, okay? I'm just trying to tell you that you have a thought that they're not safe and that you are, and that makes you feel guilty. So what if I were to tell you, I don't want you to fix this right now. I just want you to be here. I think part of what we do too often is we try and change the thoughts that are really deep and negative and bothering, not negative, but emotional for us. Okay? But if you stay here and you allow yourself to feel it rather than trying to change it and resist it, and I shouldn't feel this and I don't know what to do and I don't want to feel this anymore, it's going to feel even harder. But if you just sit with this and you find ways to comfort yourself about it, whether it's calling them or hoping for the best for them or praying for them or whatever it is that you do to find, to allow it to be there and just be still with it, then the action line gets a little bit less extreme.
So, stop fighting the feels.
Yes, don't fight them. Don't fight them. It's okay to be concerned about them. I want you to do a model for yourself that allows you to be afraid for them.
And you know what? I think that's what I'm having a hard time with, because my whole family is there. So I'm kind of, you know, obviously petrified about that. But I'm having this situation at work where my boss is really annoyed with the fact, even though I'm going to work and doing my work and everything, but because I'm not happy Sheila, which is what they're used to, they keep putting my feelings down, that it's not okay for me to feel this way because their house is not damaged, so I'm just being dramatic. And I guess now I'm scared of feeling the feels because now I'm second guessing myself. Am I being dramatic? Or is this a true worry? I'm feeling the feels, but I'm also fighting them because I'm told that I shouldn't have them. And I'm being told by such a hostile way that it makes it really hard for me to even think about it's okay for me to feel it, and then me defend those feelings against those people.
Here's the difference, okay? They get to have their opinions about your feelings. Just divorce yourself from that for a minute, okay? They don't have the emotional tie to Puerto Rico that you do, okay? They can look at it from a very logical standpoint, just like I just did. Is their house safe? Yes, but all these other things, Kathy, and what if, and all that. You have to allow yourself to be there in order to process it and move forward with it. What you're trying to do is say, somebody's telling me I shouldn't be feeling this, maybe I shouldn't be feeling this, and that just intensifies the feeling. It just intensifies everything, because you've added, on top of your worry and fear for your family, you've added judgment about whether or not you should be feeling those things. Feelings are not.
That's it. Like, yeah. I feel
feelings are not wrong.
I don't know what to do with that. Like, that judgment that I'm not doing the right thing. And it's like, it's hard enough when you already feel like there's nothing you could do for them.
Well, I'm telling
you. And like you said, they're safe. And I thank God every day that they're safe. And even the people that lost their houses, everybody helps each other. Mm-hmm. So I know they're safe. I know they will pull through. Mm-hmm. And they know they can count on me on anything that they might need. But I feel like I speak and nobody listens. And sometimes you want to validate your feelings with somebody. And, you know, I was processing all this, and then my boss is being so harsh that now here's the dirt, and I'm like right here, like way below the dirt.
So a couple of things just happened. you got very passionate when you said, I know they're going to be okay. They help each other. They do, you know, it's so that logical part of your brain is in there and it's talking to the emotional part of your brain. But I want to go back to this, you know, this judging whether or not you should be feeling something. Feelings are not wrong. Feelings are never wrong. They are just feeling. A feeling is a vibration in your body. It's a physical response to something that you're thinking. Okay? And when you feel guilty, your stomach hurts, you cry, your head hurts, you know, these things happen in your body. When you feel fear, these things happen in your body. That's all it is. A feeling is not wrong. Okay? Where you're going wrong is you're asking someone else to validate your feelings rather than just accepting them and allowing them to be there. Nobody else has to tell you your feelings are right or wrong. Okay? You get to feel what works for you. And if in this moment, feeling the fear and the love along together are okay, I just don't want you feeling guilty. Guilt and regret will never get you anywhere. And there is nothing about you living here, feeling bad about living here, that's going to help the people in Puerto Rico.
Agreed.
Okay? That's the big point I want to make with this. If you want to feel fear or worry or whatever, you go right ahead and feel that if you think that's what you need to do. If you need to allow those feelings to be there so that they can move on through and so that you can move to the next feeling. Okay? Oh, that's okay. But don't look for someone else to validate it for you. Just know that you're allowing yourself to feel because this is, they hadn't had all this thought work that you've had, right? They haven't had all this, you know, Corinne in their lives telling them, you got to feel your feelings or you're going to eat, you know, eat your face off, right? And see, that's what's happening here with this eat or not eat and guilt is you're fighting yourself. When you're feeling bad because you're here and you're safe and they're there and they might have an earthquake, you're fighting yourself.
I am.
It's okay that you're here. This was your choice to be here. It's also okay that they're there because it's their choice to be there. Are their circumstances ideal? Probably not. Do they, you know, do you worry about them down there because you love them? Yeah. And that's okay too. That's just an expression of your love.
So it is okay. So it is okay that I did the model like you're just doing it right now and not do the other side when yes. You change your thought.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay.
You know, what's going to happen if you thought download about this every day and you do this model every day.
That part comes easy.
Yeah.
On and this subject, that part comes easy. The other side is what I'm having a hard time.
Right.
It's like I am having a hard time to move in that feeling from guilty because my facts are my facts. And my thought, I can twist it. I can't find a way to twist it because I'm not there. So I feel like I can't. I've been trying for 2 days, 3 days, just make sense of it, mm-hmm. to change my thought, to change my feeling, to, you know, because there's two sections in the planner, so I'm doing the one and then
just pick two feelings. What can you, can we level guilt up to something? Maybe just fear? Maybe worry?
Oh, fear.
Anxious?
Fear is big.
Okay. I just don't, this is the one, guilt and regret are just never going to serve you for any reason.
So it is okay if I level up the guilt to fear,
or
even though they're not,
mm-hmm.
they're not, even though the one is not more positive than the other.
Absolutely. You're probably feeling, if we ran a list right now of everything you feel about what's going on in Puerto Rico and your family, you think guilt would be the only one that came up?
Mm-mm.
What else comes up?
I'm anxious. I'm scared. Surprised. Mad. Nothing positive. See, and that was where I was getting stuck. I was doing this model, and usually I could change my thought into something positive that just turns everything around. And that's how I've been processing everything.
Right. And sometimes you can. Most of the time, you can find an alternate thought that's believable. Okay? But you are so immersed right now in fear, anger, guilt, anxious, and surprise that you have to stay where you are right now and process these. Each of these has a different model. Okay?
Each one has a different model.
Each of these feelings has a different thought associated with it. Fear might be they might die. Anger might be nobody's helping them. Guilt, we've already identified. Anxious might be I don't know what's happening next. Do you see what I'm saying? They're each going to have a different thought associated with them.
So I like that idea, doing a model for each one of those feelings in order for me to process it.
Right, because here's what happens. The fear, they might die. You question the thought. Is that really true? Is that really one that I want to focus on right now? The anger, nobody's helping them. I'm just pulling these out of my pants, right? I'm not going to write it all out. But then you say, is that really true? You validate your own thought or invalidate your own thought and move to the next one. That's how you process it. You question what's actually going on.
And then I can change each. So I can, because I'm trying to do it as a whole, it is harder for me to change it into a positive outcome. But if I break it down into each individual feeling, then I could change the fear to hope or the anger to acceptance. And
yes.
Okay.
What you've done by lumping it all together is you've picked the most painful one, which is, I mean, seriously, that's what we do.
Yeah.
That's what we do. That's where our focus goes, is on what's most painful, because that means we get to stay in action. We don't have to do anything. We can just feel sorry for ourselves and eat and sleep and hide.
Okay. I got it. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I hope everything goes very well for them.
Me too. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye. Okay, you guys. I was going to tell you at the beginning, and I forgot, remind you of what's coming up this week. Let's do that real quick. I'm going to check the calendar. What is coming up this week? Corinne is doing a big tribe Q&A on Zoom right here and at noon tomorrow. Then on Sunday, weekly planning and office hours with Corinne. And on Monday, I'm going to teach some more about expectations. Kind of taking that little word should we talked about at the beginning and showing you how it shows up and what to do with it. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about expectations and relationships, especially with yourself and with the people close to you, and how your expectations can really get in your way and what to do to manage them. And then Miss Betsy, Coach Betsy is back next Wednesday for office hours. Oh, let's see. There's a few Q&A. Let's see if there's anything here I need to address. Will the tribe be doing the relationships course together sometime this year, or are you only focusing on the in-person class? I'm not 100% sure, Liz. If it is going to be done, It will be later on the late summer, early fall. And I can tell you that we're going to do a whole lot more than the class in the weekend. I've been in the tribe for a year. I'm on my last 20 pounds. I know if I'm not losing, it means I'm overeating, but I just can't seem to get myself to leave bites behind in the moment. What kind of conversation or thought work should I be doing to help get over this hump? I would, I have a client, I have a private client who does this. It's the coolest thing I've ever seen. She actually writes out a conversation between the two parts of her brain. So let's say you were to write out this conversation. You get down to the last few bites. One part of your brain says, I really want to eat those. I'll do it again tomorrow night. The other part of your brain says, yeah, but we're in the last 20 pounds. Then the first part of your brain says, it's okay. It's just broccoli. Then the second part of your brain says, yeah, but you can overeat broccoli. Write out that conversation. Plan it ahead of time. What does it sound like? And then use that and kind of laugh about it a little bit. That's what she does. But use that to plan the reaction you have to your own excuses. Having problems seeing my realistic plans in writing, do you have some advice or words of wisdom about this? Ask yourself why and ask yourself if you want to learn how to commit to yourself. You have to do a realistic plan, y'all. Have to do a realistic plan first. It's how you teach yourself to commit. Okay? Go back to the commitment video in orientation and the 24-hour planning video in No BS and listen to her talk about how important the realistic plan is and how it is the basis of everything that you will do. Every day I break my realistic plan later in the day. It's usually when my kids are home. I feel broken. You're not broken. Your plan is not realistic if you're breaking it. I know it's a process problem, not a me problem. Any tips on just figuring it out? It's a pattern that happens every day. Plan what you're eating when your kids get home, when your kids are home. Put it on the plan. Make it realistic. Make it super duper realistic. That way, when the kids are home, things get crazy, you want to eat, it's already on the plan. You've already told yourself you can have it. You get to decide if you're really going to eat it. That's it, everybody. I hope you have a great night. Thanks for being here, and I will see you soon. Bye.